Well, let me tell you what's happening at the Zondo Commission right now. Having a look over onto my monitor here, I see the evidence leader actually speaking to Lord Peter Hayne. He's a member of the British Parliament. He took the stand early this morning, and he's been on the stand for a number of hours now. And really, he's the first international person to testify before this commission, so to speak. And he's raised some really important issues about the international banking system, how domestic corruption, seemingly at the hands of the Guptas, was facilitated on the international stage to facilitate money laundering. And you must know the background of Peter Hayne. He has quite a special connection to the country. He grew up here before the apartheid government forced his family into exile. And so every now and then he travels back to the country. You know, you see him involved in public engagements here. You see him on local news channels and the like. And it's because he still has this great affinity to South Africa. And he's speaking about something very important indeed, about how important cooperation is among banks, particularly those on an international scale, to ensure that money laundering doesn't take place. I want to actually take you quickly to Parktown for a moment to just listen into the exchange that's going on between him, Peter Hayne, and Judge Raymond Zondo at this point.
Might be litigation, because there are very many people out there who like what this commission is doing, but there are also very many people out there who don't like what this commission is doing. And by the nature of the investigation that this commission is doing, and if it is to make certain findings, one can almost be sure that certain people would want to go to court, and that could cause some delay. But it may well be that, for example, the president, to whom the recommendations would be made and the report would be submitted, that he might have to make up his mind on certain recommendations to say, well, if there is no court challenge about these ones, I would want to go ahead and implement these. But he might just have to make up his mind about some, because I don't think anybody would be surprised if there is a lot of litigation arising to challenge findings of this commission.
Thank you for that update, Chair. I'm not sure that it's really for me to comment on that, except I have observed with some frustration, and I'm sure it's not as much frustration as you yourself have observed, being at such a high position in the judicial system, the way the courts can somehow be, in the process of law, be used by the bad guys, as opposed to allowing the good guys to proceed and establish probity and integrity in our public administration system.
Mm. Mr. Pretorius.
All right, so that is the exchange that's happened literally just a few seconds ago between Deputy Chief Justice Raymond Zondo and Lord Peter Hayne, who appears from Britain's House of Lords. Let's bring into the conversation our reporter, Teto Mahlakwana, who's just stepped out of that hearing to be able to speak to us. And Teto, I want to start by going back, first of all. I believe Peter Hayne started with what he understands about the phenomenon of state capture in this country.
Yes, he did, Joanne. You know, it was quite a broad outline of some of the problems that have, boggled the country down basically in the past decade. We have seen a number of incidents where there were international players in the form of companies which were consultative firms, and also in the form of banks which were said to have allegedly, of course, aided, for example, the Gupta family and some of the people who stand accused of those grand crimes against the South African state. And he, of course, illustrated just some of the methods that have been used in countries like the UK, where he emanates from, to sort of curb this form of crime, saying that, you know, global, we live in a global community and there should be more enforcement and more coordination among countries and states to get some sort of a cooperative bill going on, so that you do not have a case of, for example, where a bank can, or someone can open an account at a bank in South Africa, yet money is moved to other places in the world where such money is disguised, or the origins thereof is disguised, and you have that going on for a while without without any sort of law enforcement authority picking up that there are anomalies with certain transactions.
So he spoke quite a lot as well about the responsibility of various entities to ensure that that information sharing occurs in order to prevent money laundering and corruption. He also spoke, interestingly, not just about the international banks, but about the British government and their responsibility to do better in dealing with the Gupta business deals, for example.
Absolutely, Joanne. Just now towards the tail end of that clip that you played, he was just talking about how, for example, the American government has reacted to these dealings and these transactions. He says that there have been instances where that government has sanctioned or nearly stopped any form of business and any form of banking by those entities or individuals who are suspected of any form of illegitimate conduct. Now, he says in the case of the British government, he was rather disappointed to find that there was no willingness to follow the same route. And he says when he wrote to the Treasury of that government, he got what he says was a weak response that, frankly, showed there was no commitment to following the same route. He says they explained to him that they did not have available legislation that would enable the British government to follow the same route as the U.S. in terms of sanctioning those entities. Of course, in this particular case, he was talking about the Gupta families and all their interests. He says he also does not know at the same time whether the South African government has bothered at all to get in touch with the British authorities to see if they can get some sort of a cooperation. Now, also, while he was dealing with what other international governments are doing, he raised concern with how Dubai has handled the entire matter, saying he finds it rather amiss that, you know, you have the Gupta family that continues to live in that country while they should be, in fact, facing the music in South Africa, and there has been absolutely no willingness or cooperation from the Dubai authorities.
Tell me about this. He's also spoken about the punishment of certain banks which may have colluded with criminals, how they appear to have got off scot-free, and what's he suggested in terms of the consequences of that behaviour for banks, Teto?
He suggests that executives of these banks should be held liable criminally so for, you know, being I guess, involved or overseeing such transactions, pointing, of course, to money laundering, because I think that the core of it, that even if one goes to open an account and there's suspicion that there could be money laundering, taking place, that there has been this attitude from the banks to turn a blind eye to it. He mentions, of course, the three banks, the HSBC, Standard Chartered, and the Bank of Baroda, saying that there had been this parallel, the opening of bank accounts by the Gupta family within this bank. But because there was no communication among the banks themselves, but also that even in the case where there would have been some sort of an anomaly picked up, these banks are not willing to act on that information, of course, using the rule that protects clients, that, you know, there's this customer confidentiality clause that they cannot override to get away from being held accountable for such. So he's calling on the South African government, of course, to look at better ways of enforcing its own legislation, but also explore policy formulation that will look at not only forming steering committees that would zoom in on these sort of institutions, zoom into the financial sectors, and look at better ways of ensuring that when they do form law enforcement agencies that can take this on, there's already the policy underlying. And he says all of this must be done within the next 12 months, because he warns us that he's hearing from rather influential people that state capture is continuing, and what we are dealing with currently is just the head of the iceberg, really.
Teto, thank you so much for bringing us that story live to us from the State Capture Commission, Teto Mahlakwana.